Oh, that's a wonderful verse. It has many, many levels of meaning. It could mean that the guru is God, or that God is the guru. And God in the form of creative consciousness and protecting consciousness and the consciousness of continuous transformation is the guru. That's what the guru is. Or it could mean that your guru symbolizes the ultimate divinity. And probably it means both. That God is the ultimate guru. And your guru will take you to God. So this guru will take you to that guru, and that guru is going to take you to that guru, and you make your way through the ranks until you can't go any farther. Which I don't believe is possible, because God is infinite. Yes?
In the Rig Veda, Devi Sutta.
Are there any other questions before we start our study of the Rudra Stadhyay?
We had questions from Parthi and I were looking at the, there's a verse in the Shiva Puja, I think it's in your introduction. It's on page one. And that Sanskrit verse describes the meaning of Shiva.
Mm-hmm.
But we were discussing the meaning that you gave us, and we were trying to figure out how you come to the definition of Shiva as the consciousness of infinite goodness based on the meaning that's given by Shiva, Shiva.
Well, Shiva means Kalyan. Kalyan means welfare. That's just like a textbook definition. It means welfare. And Shiva, as as the Purusha, is the consciousness of welfare. But Sadashiva, as the foundation of all consciousness, as the infinite consciousness, is the consciousness of the welfare without end.
Okay.
So it doesn't correspond to this definition at all. This was another definition. And after that definition came another definition. Shiva is also the destroyer. So we were talking about the various ways that we look at Shiva. Shiva as meaning the infinite union with the causal body of peace. Or Shiva as the destroyer of all that disrupts the peace. Or Shiva as the consciousness of infinite goodness. And tonight we're going to be talking about Rudra, which is another form of Shiva.
When you say chit mangalam,
yes,
does that mean the consciousness of welfare? Or
no.
The consciousness that gives welfare? Or what does that mean?
Chitta mangalam,
right,
means the welfare of all objects of perception. It's not chit, it's chitta.
What does that mean?
Chitta is the object of consciousness.
What's the object of consciousness?
Remember, man, buddhi, ahamka, and chitta. There were four in the Antakaran. Man was all subjective thought, all the adjectives and adverbs of experience. Buddhi is objective thought, all the nouns and verbs. This is a book that's buddhi. This is a good book. That's an opinion. And you may agree with me or you can get out. But that's man. The good is man. Together, the two of them, man and buddhi, constitutes chitta. All thought. Subjective and objective. Chitta. The objects of consciousness. Chitta. Vritti nirhod iti yoga. Chitta vritti nirhod. Not chit, Chitta. Now, the chitta is the feminine form of the chit, the object of perception.
But chitta is in ahamkar?
No, no. Ahamkar cogito ergo sum. I think, therefore I am. Chitta is the thought, whether it be objective or subjective, or all thought, all recollection.
It's not the. Is it the objects of perception?
Yes.
So there's nothing outside at all then, in that case, because you're referring to it as a flavor of the mind, right? Or
well, we just described there are four aspects of this mind. We're calling it the inner cause, antakaran.
Antakaran is the word I meant instead of ahankar.
Okay.
The antakaran is comprised of those four.
Four, yes. And the inner cause, not the mind.
So the objects of perception reside in the inner cause.
Yes.
Okay.
Once they have been perceived from the outer, as objects of perception, they reside inside. Mm-hmm. And that chitta, that object of perception, is inside. It is the recollection of the relationship outside. So that's the chitta mangalam. The meaning is all the objects of consciousness are filled with welfare. Shivartha chitta mangalam.
Mm. That's just a natural state of being.
Yes, that is the natural state of being. And the natural state of being with Shiva is that everything we perceive as welfare, as goodness.
Can I ask a question?
Sure.
Okay, I can see your definition with the Shaka Shanti Prakash, illuminate peace. And then it says
Pada
Karan Deha Karan. And your translation says
causal body.
The causal body.
Yes, where Karan.
Karan is Karan.
Causal.
Meaning is causal.
Yes. Okay. And Deha means body.
Deha.
Sharir.
Okay.
Deha and Sharir. They are synonymous.
Okay.
Va iti chirastai milan. The eternal chirastai, infinite.
Okay.
Chirastai. It's be establishment. Milan means union. And Shiva Artha, the definition of Shiva, is Chitta Mangalam. All the objects of perception are filled with welfare. So here we have the consciousness of welfare. No, the welfare of all objects of perception is the same thing as saying what?
The consciousness of infinite.
Thank you. Okay.
That's what I wanted to make sure. Yeah.
Okay. Yes.
Right.
Good. Any other? Yes, sir.
Is it true to say that we are already enlightened and we don't realize it?
Well. Is it true to say that? I don't know the value of saying that. I would say, really, if we realized it, we would be enlightened. And we are enlightened and to the extent that we do realize it, or for the period of time that we realize it.
So that is not true. Well,
next.
Speaking of enlightenment.
Oh, no.
Is there... only one realization, like for each person, or is it different?
Wow, you're going to take me way away. There are subjectively realized beings and there are objectively realized beings. And when someone falls in love with their family to the exclusion of all ego, they are subjectively realized because their love has a boundary around it. And when that family expands to a community, it becomes a greater subjective love, like you create a religion. But the Vedic seers are objectively realized, which means that their love is just infinite, and it has no boundary, and it has no object. There is no object of the love. There's just love. And that's objective love, because it's not in relationship. You could call it the difference between bigyan and gyan. Because bigyan is almost a science. It's a knowledge that has a specific application. And gyan is just wisdom, which doesn't necessarily have a specific application, but it is applicable to all of us, to everyone. So everyone who has objective realization has the same realization. However, those who have subjective realizations, their communities become the chosen people. Or their people, their communities become exclusive and separated and segregated from, distinguished from the rest. So if you have a subjective realization, you may go out and found a new religion. And if you have an objective realization, you would say, Jotomot Totopot, everybody is on the path. They're all members of my religion. So those who have an objective realization, they're all one. Whether they call themselves a Sufi or a Rishi or a Dervish or a mystic, they're all one. But those who have a subjective realization, then they become sectarian. And their realization is applicable and instructive and inspiring only to members of their sect. We're trying to have a religious experience which tears down all the walls, which tears down all the barriers. We're not looking to establish a sect of an ism. We're looking to become one with all of life. Now, we use a specific vehicle as our practice, but our realization, hopefully, will be that we're children of the universe. We're members of the family of humanity. We're one with God. It won't be that we are part of the chosen few. And we won't create a boundary around ourselves and say, we're special. Let's move on to the Rudra Stadhyay, because it's got a lot of neat stuff. Now, this, in my opinion, is the writing that comes from objectively realized beings, because they worshipped all of life. And they said, Ekang Shad Bipra Bahuda Badanti, there is only one supreme divinity who is called by many names. And we are worshiping that supreme divinity in the sun. And we're worshiping him in the fire. And we're worshiping in the mountains. And we see him in the rivers. And we see him in all of nature. And we see him in the goodness of humanity. And we see him in all that lives. And this Rudra Stadhyay comes from the Shukla Yajurveda, the bright portion of the Yajurveda, which is the knowledge or the wisdom of how to create sacrifice, how to sacrifice the egotism of duality to attain this understanding and have this realization. So it's a fascinating book, and I think we should start with the introduction. The Rudra Stadhyay, or 8 chapters in praise of Rudra, is one of the most acclaimed and celebrated hymns to Shiva in the world. It is chanted continually in all Shiva temples and especially in all the Jyotirlingams, the special places of pilgrimage for Lord Shiva in India, where Shiva has bestowed his eternal light as a blessing to every devotee who comes to pray with devotion. The Rudra Stadhyay celebrates Shiva, the consciousness of infinite goodness, in his form as the reliever of sufferings. Rudra comes from the Sanskrit Asru Trayate, he who takes away the tears. Rudra is the form of Shiva who takes away our tears and puts an end to all suffering. The Rudra Stadhyay emanates from the Shukla Yajurveda. The Vedas are the oldest expressions of spiritual wisdom known to mankind. According to religious scholars, the Vedas were one with God at the origin of creation. According to historians, they are considered to be between 5,000 and 20,000 years old. The Vedas were originally perceived by enlightened beings called rishis, seers of the eternal harmony which is one with God. These rishis intuitively understood the wisdom of the Vedas, that infinite consciousness joined with the totality of nature to manifest every object and relationship in existence. By uniting their consciousness with the Supreme Consciousness, the rishis became aware of this imperishable wisdom which expresses the harmony of all existence in universal consciousness. Another name for a rishi is a kavi, or inspired poet. The rishis expressed the wisdom of this universal harmony through inspired poetry. And these poems were recited by the rishis and memorized by their disciples in a process called shruti, that which is known through hearing. The hymns and poems were passed down from generation to generation through the disciplic succession until one of generation of disciples said, "This is too much for us. We cannot memorize all of this material, no matter how much wisdom it contains." The Vedas were then divided into four parts: the Rig Veda, the wisdom of hymns; the Yajurveda, the wisdom of the sacrifice of egotistical attachment; the Sama Veda, the wisdom of song; and the Atharva Veda, the wisdom of how to apply spiritual knowledge to our daily lives. Because this quantity of knowledge was still so voluminous, the four Vedas were further divided into four sections: Samhita, or hymns; Oranyak, stories about the lives of the rishis; Brahmanas, texts that explain to the priests how to conduct the ceremonies; and Upanishads, the philosophy of maintaining unity consciousness. The Rudra Stadhyay comes from the Shukla section of the Yajurveda. The Shukla section, or the bright illuminated portion, are hymns that inspire humanity to express unity consciousness in all actions they perform. The eight chapters in praise of Rudra from the Shukla Yajurveda actually contains nine chapters. The first chapter is a prayer to receive the sankalpa, or determination and focus of mind of Shiva. The second chapter praises Shiva in his omnipresence. The third chapter is a blessing for the spiritual warrior within us to prevail in the battle and defeat our own enemies. In the fourth chapter, we praise Shiva as the light of wisdom. In the fifth chapter, we bow to Shiva in all his forms. In the sixth chapter, we ask for his blessings. In the seventh chapter, we make offerings to his various manifestations. In the eighth chapter, we recite many of his divine characteristics that are within us. In the ninth chapter, we ask for peace and offer peace to all existence. Chapter 5 has become especially famous as the Namakam, because the verses contain special names of Shiva to which we bow, Namankara, in devotion and offer our oblations. Chapter 8 is known as the Chamakam, because it contains a list of characteristics and qualities that are within us. And after each quality, cha is inserted, meaning and. Therefore, it is called Chamakam. The 8 chapters in praise of Rudra actually contain 9, and the 9th chapter is known as the Shantyadhyaya, the chapter that conveys the blessings of peace. The Rudra Stadhyay has been chanted for thousands of years by millions of people. The feeling and wisdom of these beautiful hymns of praise have been transmitted from generation to generation in the oral tradition of the guru-disciple relationship. Those who chant the Rudra Stadhyay can feel the vibrations of these many generations of sincere worshippers and can receive this transmission themselves. These Vedic poems convey the spiritual emotion, or bhava, and of the passionate love and worship of Shiva. These hymns help to take away our suffering and grant us peace. They are filled with inspiration, and the tones of their chanting conduct our vibrations to radiant purity. As we continue to sing these hymns and invoke Shiva, we experience more and more love for God. Shiva comes to us and gives us his darshan, the blessed vision of his divine presence. Shrima reminds us that these poems teach us that we are one with everything, and everything is within us. Therefore, we must respect all beings and respect our own actions. If we unite with God by giving up selfish attachments and see the love for God in every action we perform, we will discover that the divinity we are seeking is within us as well as all around us. We become divine beings in a divine paradise and occasionally take little trips to visit the world of human interaction. Shrima joins me in offering all the blessings of Lord Shiva, and that's signed by us. Are there any questions about the introduction?
Is there a Krishna section of the Yajurveda?
Yes, there is. There are 40 chapters of the Shukla Yajurveda, and there are 40 chapters of the Krishna Yajurveda.
So of those 40, we're only working with the 9?
We're working with 9 chapters, and these are not complete chapters. These are excerpts from the 40 chapters of the Shukla Yajurveda. And in actuality, they have come from 9 different places in the Shukla Yajurveda. However, I translated, and that's probably how we got started on this project in the first place, probably in the early 1970s, I had translated all of chapter 18, which is 72 verses long, which 29 verses comprise chapter 8 of this book. I had translated the entirety of 72 verses of chapter 18 of the Shukla Yajurveda, and 29 of those verses I used. It is a traditional text. This is a traditional text that we're working with. They chose for us which verses came. Many people call the Rudram just the Namakam and Chamakam. 2 chapters of the 8 chapters of Rudra Stadhyay. And the reason we're going to refer to the 8 chapters, even though it contains a Shantipat at the end as the 9th chapter, is its name, Rudra Ashta Adhyaya. That's the name of the text. Rudra Ashta means 8, Adhyaya means chapters. Rudra Ashta Adhyaya. And the 9th chapter is a Shantipat, which says blessings of peace. Shanti, shanti, shanti.
Do you generally chant all the chapters, or do you also do the Namakam and Chamakam?
I do the entire text. However, we had a Rudra Stadhyay part performed on behalf of all the members of the Devi Mandir family in Bhojnath. And the Pandit had the Namakam memorized, and he just did the one chapter and said, okay, give me my dakshina. May could be possessive and may could be locative. And I translate it as locative. May can be genitive and it may can be locative. So if it was genitive, it would say my. And if it's locative, it would say in me. And I have authority for the locative version, and that's how I translated it. So I don't believe it was recited by Daksha at all. Of course, the Vedas were one with Brahma from the beginning of creation. I cannot tell you the seer, because in the Ajurveda, they don't separate the rishis of each hymn. They do in the Rig Veda. In the Rig Veda and the Samaveda, you can tell who is the rishi of each hymn. But in the Ajurveda, you cannot. But it's a fun story. I don't find any authority for them. Tanme manaha shiva sankalpamastu. In the advanced Shiva Puja, we read the Sankalpa Stotra. So the same types of mantras come in this.
So that's not the meaning of sankalpa. It's
may I have
the
same sankalpa as Shiva has. That's what the first chapter is about. I want to be here with Shiva. And may I have the same sankalpa that Shiva has so I can be with him. Otherwise, he's going to leave me in the dust and just take off and do his karma. So that's why the first prayer is, Ganesh, we pray to you. And then Shiva, please bless me with the same sankalpa that you have. Every time we sit down, we're going to say thank you to the gods and goddesses for allowing us to sit. And then we're going to wash our hands. Then we'll do asan shuddhi and take a sankalpa. Let's go back and translate the Kushandika. We'll be ready to start. We'll go to page 5. We bow to the respected great Lord of wisdom. We bow to Lakshmi and Narayan, the goal of all existence and the perceiver of all. We bow to Uma and Maheshwara, she who protects existence and the great consciousness or seer of all. We bow to Bani and Hiranyagarbha, Saraswati and Brahma, who create the cosmic existence. We bow to Sachi and Purandar, Indra and his wife, who preside over all that is divine. We bow to the mothers and the fathers. We bow to the chosen deity of worship. We bow to the family deity of worship. We bow to the village deity of worship. We bow to the particular household deity of worship. We bow to the established deity of worship. We bow to all the gods. We bow to all the knowers of divinity. Om, we meditate upon that perfect, full, complete, always continuing consciousness of infinite goodness. Contemplate he whose thousand eyes see everywhere. May that giver of bliss grant us increase. Om, I extol the birth of truth as pure existence. Again and again I bow down to the birth of truth as pure existence. In being after being, beyond all being, who himself is all being, from whom came all being, to that existence I bow. I bow to the beautiful God who is beloved. I bow to the pleasant one, to the ultimate one. I bow to the reliever of sufferings. I bow to time. I bow to the cause of the illumination of darkness. I bow to the source of strength. I bow to the progenitor of strength. I bow to the fashioner of all the elements. I bow to the mind of all minds. I bow to he who is free from fear, who instills the fear of evil, who saves the righteous from fear, who is within all, the all of everything. May we give our respect to he who is the form of the reliever of sufferings. Om, we meditate upon that universal consciousness. Contemplate the great God. May that reliever of sufferings grant us increase. The seer of all, who is all knowledge, the Lord of the universe, who is all existence, before the creative consciousness, before the knowers of consciousness, existing in eternal delight as the consciousness of infinite goodness. Om, the divine fire is the light, and the light is the divine fire. I am one with God. The light of wisdom is the light, and the light is the light of wisdom. I am one with God. The divine fire is the offering, and the light is the offering. I am one with God. The light of wisdom is the offering, and the light is the light of wisdom. I am one with God. The divine fire is the light. The light of wisdom is the light. The light of devotion is the light as well. The light of the highest bliss, O God, is in the light which we offer, the light which we request you to accept with the offering of light. Om, I bow to the consciousness of infinite goodness. Please conceive, close your eyes, everyone, conceive the highest goodness. And when you get that picture of perfect goodness and joy and bliss, make it better. And better and better and better. And that's what the puja of Lord Shiva is about, the consciousness of infinite goodness. Just when you have that perfect picture of the highest goodness, make it better. Om, spirit of the forest, from you is produced the most excellent of scents, the scent most pleasing to all the gods. That scent we request you to accept with the offering of fragrant scent. Om, I bow to the consciousness of infinite goodness.
All-knowing is the moon, the sun, and the divine fire. You alone are all light, and this light we request you to accept with the offering of light. Om, I bow to the consciousness of infinite goodness. Om, earth is a reservoir of nectar. All vegetation is a reservoir of nectar. The divine atmosphere is a reservoir of nectar, and also above. May all perceptions shine forth with the sweet taste of nectar for us. Om, the divine fire, the light of purity, is the shining God. The wind is the shining God. The sun, the light of wisdom, is the shining God. The moon, the lord of devotion, is the shining God. The protectors of the wealth are the shining gods. The relievers of sufferings are the shining gods. The sons of the light are the shining gods. The emancipated seers, the maruts, are the shining gods. The universal shining gods are the shining gods. The guru of the gods is the shining God. The ruler of the gods is the shining God. The lord of waters is the shining God. Om, the infinite beyond conception, the gross body, the subtle body, and the causal body, we meditate upon that light of wisdom which is the supreme wealth of the gods. May it grant to us increase in our meditation. Om, the gross body, om, the subtle body, om, the causal body, om, the great body of existence, om, the body of all knowledge, om, the body of light, om, the body of truth. Om, we meditate upon that light of wisdom which is the supreme wealth of the gods. May it grant to us increase in our meditation. May the divine waters, luminous with the nectar of immortality, of supreme divinity, fill the earth, the atmosphere, and the heavens. O, my rosary, the great measurement of consciousness, containing all energy within, as your intrinsic nature, give to me the attainment of your perfection, fulfilling the four objectives of life. Remember, Dharma, Artha, Kama, Moksha. Om, rosary, you please remove all obstacles. I hold you in my right hand. At the time of recitation, be pleased with me. Allow me to attain the highest perfection. Om, rosary of Rudraksha seeds, my Lord, give to me excellent attainment. Give to me, give to me. Illuminate the meanings of all mantras. Illuminate, illuminate. Fashion me with all excellent attainments. Fashion me. I am one with God. With these scented flowers, Om, we bow to the Lord of Wisdom, Lord of the Multitudes. With these scented flowers, Om, we bow to the sun, the light of wisdom, along with the nine planets. With these scented flowers, Om, we bow to Shiva, the consciousness of infinite goodness, along with the five primary deities, Shiva, Shakti, Vishnu, Ganesh, and Surya. With these scented flowers, Om, we bow to Indra, the ruler of the pure, along with the 10 protectors of the 10 directions. With these scented flowers, Om, we bow to Vishnu, the fish, along with the 10 incarnations which he assumed. With these scented flowers, Om, we bow to the Lord of all created beings. With these scented flowers, Om, we bow to the perfect perception of consciousness. With these scented flowers, Om, we bow to all the gods. With these scented flowers, Om, we bow to all the goddesses. With these scented flowers, Om, we bow to the guru. With these scented flowers, Om, we bow to all knowers of wisdom. Brahma is in the shining light, or Kushagrass. In the shining light resides Janardhan, the Lord of Beings. The supreme, all-pervading consciousness Vishnu resides in the shining light. O repository of the shining light, we bow down to you, the seat of Kushagrass. We bow to the one of beautiful hair. We bow to the one who is always sweet. We bow to he who is one-pointed light. Om consciousness, om consciousness, om consciousness. Om, that consciousness of the highest station who always sees the light of wisdom, give us divine eyes. Om, that twice-born teacher who is always thirsty for accepting the nectar of devotion. O consciousness, you are in that highest station. Om, the impure and the pure reside within all objects. Who remembers the lotus-eyed consciousness is conveyed to radiant beauty. All the welfare of all the welfare, the highest blessing of purity and illumination, with the offering of respect, we bow down to the supreme consciousness who is the actual performer of all action. Om, these are the mantras of the light of wisdom. The creative capacity is the seer. Nature is the meter. The divine flow of waters is the deity, being applied in washing the hands and rinsing the mouth. Introducing the mantras of the purification of the seat. The seer is he whose back is straight. The meter is of very beautiful form. The tortoise who supports the earth is the deity. These mantras are applied to make the seat free from obstructions. With these scented flowers, Om Ring, we bow to the primal energy situated in this lotus seat. Om Earth, you support the realms of the goddess. You are supported by the supreme consciousness. Also bear me eternally and make pure this seat. Om, I bow to the guru. Om, I bow to the guru's guru. Om, I bow to the gurus of the lineage. Om, I bow to the supreme gurus. Om, I bow to the Lord of Wisdom. Om, I bow to the Infinite One. Om, creation, circumstance, transformation are known by consciousness. Om, I bow to the consciousness of infinite goodness. Om, I bow to the consciousness of infinite goodness. The consciousness which pervades all, Om, that is truth. Presently, on the planet Earth, country of America, state of confusion, city of Napa, in the temple of the Devi Mother, the Divine Mother, the name of the month is Posh, and it's the dark fortnight, it's the seventh day, and Satyananda is the name of the sadhu family. Sri, everyone say your name. He is performing the worship for the satisfaction of the respected consciousness of infinite goodness by reciting the 8 chapters in praise of Rudra from the bright portion of the Yajurveda. May our waking consciousness replace pain and suffering with divinity, as also our awareness when asleep. Far extending be our radiant aura of light, filling our minds with light. May that be the firm determination of the consciousness of infinite goodness. May that goddess who wears the moon of devotion protect the children of devotion. May that goddess of all-pervading knowledge protect us. May the energy of the rule of the pure rise up. O energy of equilibrium, grant us the highest prosperity. The ultimate prosperity to us, O rule of the pure, who perceives all that changes. The ultimate prosperity to us, searchers for truth, knowers of the universe. The ultimate prosperity to us, O divine being of light, keep us safe. The ultimate prosperity to us, O spirit of all-pervading delight, grant that to us. We invoke you with offerings, O Lord of the multitudes. We invoke you with offerings, O Lord of love. We invoke you with offerings, O guardian of the treasure. Sit within me, giving birth to the realm of the gods within me. Yes, giving birth to the realm of the gods within me. We invoke you with offerings, O Lord of the multitudes, seer among seers, of unspeakable grandeur. O glorious King, Lord of the knowers of wisdom, come speedily, hearing our supplications, and graciously take your seat amidst our assembly. The Mother of Enlightenment pervades the heavens. The Mother of Enlightenment pervades the atmosphere. The Mother of Enlightenment pervades mother and father and child. All gods of the universe are pervaded by the Mother, the five forms of living beings, all life. The Mother of Enlightenment, she is to be known. You are female, you are male, you are a young boy, you are a young girl. You are the word of praise by which we are singing. You are all creation existing as the mouth of the universe. Mother of the perceivable universe, mother of the conceivable universe, mother of the universe of intuitive vision, lead me to that true existence. As excellent crops or grains are harvested, so may I be taken to reside with the infinite consciousness. Peace in the heavens, peace on the earth, peace upwards and permeating the atmosphere, peace upwards over on all sides and further, peace to us, peace to all vegetation, peace to all that has form, peace to all causes and effects, peace to all existence and to all intensities of reality, including all and everything. Peace be to us. Let the earth be at peace, the atmosphere be at peace, the heavens be filled with peace, even further may peace extend. Peace be to waters, peace to all vegetation, peace to all gods of the universe, peace to all gods within us, peace to creative consciousness, peace be to brilliant light, peace to all, peace to everything, peace, peace, altogether peace, equally peace, by means of peace. Thus, by means of peace, altogether one with the means of peace, ignorance is eliminated, violence is eradicated, improper conduct is eradicated, confusion, sin is eradicated. All that is at peace. All that is perceived, each and everything, altogether for us, oh, peace, peace, peace. And we sing that every day in Sanskrit. It's just marvelous every time we get the opportunity to remember why it is that we're doing this study, what it is that we're hoping to derive from this type of sadhana. What is our goal? What is our objective? Why are we studying this? Shiva's dhyanam contains a Gayatri mantra for Rudra. And Shiva has several Gayatri mantras.
And Shiva has a couple of dhyanams too, doesn't
he? This is the Yajurveda dhyanam. And now we're going to read from the Shiva Purana dhyanam. Om, we always meditate on he who shines like the white mountains, ornamented by a digit of the moon on his head. His body shines like jewels. In his left hands he displays an axe and the Mrig Mudra, the Kalpataru Mudra with the thumb, middle, and ring fingers, joined with the pointer and pinky extended up. And in his two right hands, he shows the mudras granting blessings and fearlessness. He is of beautiful appearance, seated in the full lotus asan. On his four sides, the gods are present, singing hymns of praise. He is wearing apparel as a tiger skin. He is before the universe and the cause of the universe. He removes all fear, has five faces and three eyes. So the first dhyanam from Yajurveda says these are what his five faces are. Sadyojata, who always gives birth to truth. Bhamadeva, the Lord of love. Aghora, who is free from fear. Tatpurusha, that full, complete, and perfect consciousness. Ishana, the Lord of all. Those are Shiva's five faces. And he has three eyes on each face. That gives him 15 eyes.
That's a seer. Om Nam in the thumb I bow, Om Ma in the forefinger I am one with God, Om Sim in the middle finger purify, Om Bong in the ring finger cut the ego, Om Yaha in the little finger ultimate purity, Om I bow to the consciousness of infinite goodness with the weapon of virtue. Om I bow to the consciousness of infinite goodness. Om Nam in the heart I bow, Om Ma on the top of the head I'm one with God, Om Singh on the back of the head purify, Om Bom crossing both arms cut the ego, Om Ya in the three eyes ultimate purity, Om I bow to the consciousness of infinite goodness with the weapon of virtue. Om I bow to the consciousness of infinite goodness, and this is a good place to do japa. At least one mala before we start reading the text. Om Namah Shivaya. Every time we sit down, we're going to make a preparation. We're going to welcome all the gods, purify our hands, purify our seat, take a sankalpa, and then we're going to read a sankalpa shantipat, a sankalpa sukta, mantras that say thank you for the privilege of allowing us to sit here. That's a preface to every puja that we perform. Up to shanti, shanti, shanti. That will be the same every time. Thereafter, we will usually read the dhyanam and the nyasa of whose ever pot we're going to perform. And then we are qualified to do japa and then begin the pot. Om Sang Saraswati Namaha